This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Come out of the closet, free thinker. Come out of the closet, whether you call yourself an atheist, agnostic, free thinker, humanist, skeptic, unbeliever, infidel, pastafarian, non-theist, heretic, rationalist, or skeptic. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. I'm an atheist and all of the above, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Pastafarian, did you say?
Well, I like pasta, and you know that's the spaghetti,
flying spaghetti mustard
spoof religion.
And when we invite you to come out of the closet as a non-believer, we mean that literally. You've heard about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Out of the Closet billboard campaigns around the country in various cities and many states. Now we have a virtual billboard campaign.
And we'll tell you more about that on today's show. Our broadcast is originating on April 30th, 2011. Free Thought Radio broadcast, actually, in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Monterey, and we podcast, and 5 o'clock or 5:30?
In New York City.
In New York City.
What's the station?
WWL.
1600. It's AM 1600.
Yeah.
So on New York City.
We didn't know that, but
on
hey,
Sundays.
If you're awake.
On Sunday
that's
morning.
A very irreverent way to begin your Sunday in New York. And of course, we podcast everywhere.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We were formed in 1978. As a national organization of non-theists, and whatever you want to call yourself, that list that Annie Laurie read earlier, atheist, agnostic, freethinker, I think all of those labels we call ourselves from one moment to another. But we work not just to educate the public about the views of us non-believers, but we also work diligently to keep religion and government separate. We have almost 17,000 members now, and the group is growing, and we're the largest organization of atheists and agnostics in the country. And later, we're going to hear more about our educational and as well as some of our state church activities.
And as Dan said, we are announcing FFRF's very cool, very new cyberboard Out of the Closet campaign.
And we're announcing a campaign that the Freedom From Religion Foundation started last week in Washington, D.C. We're taking a secular message to the heart of our government on more than 80 metro buses.
And later on the show, on the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll be joined from Arizona with attorney Paul Bender on the phone with us. He took the case that the U.S. Supreme Court heard earlier this month. Well, he was the attorney arguing it, in which the justices, unfortunately, 5-4, said Arizona taxpayers do not have the right to challenge an indirect voucher program subsidizing parochial and religious schools.
They decided the case last month.
This month, April 4th.
This case is part of the growing trend of the Supreme Court slamming the door shut against citizens who are trying to challenge and remedy the entanglements between religion and government. And we'll be talking with a real expert on the fallout from the Wynn, that's W-I-N-N, decision earlier this month taken in Arizona. Unfortunately, it seems you just can't win before the Supreme Court.
And before we do talk about that very cool, very new, unique cyberboard come out of the closet Freethinkers Blitz, we do just want to take a moment to play for you, for the record, a perfectly ridiculous comment by Tennessee Tea Party state legislator Frank Nicely. I think that's, I don't know if you say Nickley, Nicely. His views are not that nice. Arguing in favor of a bill to encourage public schools to, quote, teach the controversy, unquote, about evolution and, get this, climate change.
The so-called controversy.
And he falsely attributes a mangled version of a quote by the 16th century Francis Bacon to the humanist Albert Einstein.
I think if there's one thing that everyone in this room could agree on, and that would be that Albert Einstein was a critical thinker. He was a scientist. And I think we could probably agree that Albert Einstein was smarter than any of our science teachers in our high schools or colleges. And Albert Einstein said that a little knowledge would turn your head toward atheism, while a broader knowledge would turn your head towards Christianity.
So, Dan, what's wrong with that quote?
Well, Einstein was a teacher, by the way.
And he was a critical thinker.
Yeah, but for starters, of course, we all know that Albert Einstein grew up in a nominally Jewish home, not a Christian household. He never embraced Christianity. There's a famous column that he wrote for the New York Times in November 9th of 1930. And let me see how much of this I can quote. Einstein said, "I cannot imagine a God who rewards and punishes the objects of his creation, whose purposes are modeled after our own. A God, in short, who is but a reflection of human frailty. Neither can I believe that the individual survives the death of his body, although feeble souls harbor such thoughts through fear or ridiculous egotism. It is enough for me to contemplate the mystery of conscious life perpetuating itself through all eternity, to reflect upon the marvelous structure of the universe, which we can dimly perceive, and to try humbly to comprehend even an infinitesimal part of the intelligence manifested in nature." Confusion over Einstein's beliefs stemmed from some ambiguous comments, like when he said in a public statement reported by the United Press in April of 1929 that, "I believe in Spinoza's God, who reveals himself in the orderly harmony in being, not in God who deals with the facts and actions of men." And Einstein's famous quote, "God does not play dice with the universe," was a metaphor, of course, meaning that nature conforms to mathematical laws. And that quote, of course, fueled a lot more confusion. At a symposium—
But he was not religious.
Of course he wasn't religious, except in this vague sense of that science is my religion, which even some of us might even say. He advised at a symposium, "In their struggle for the ethical good, teachers of religion must have the stature to give up the doctrine of a personal God, that is, give up that source of fear and hope which in the past placed such vast power in the hands of priests. In their labors, they will have to avail themselves of those forces which are capable of cultivating the good, the true, and the beautiful in humanity itself. This is, to be sure, a more difficult, but an incomparably more worthy task." In a letter to philosopher Eric Gutkind, dated January 54, he said, "The word God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weaknesses. The Bible, a collection of honorable but still primitive legends which are nevertheless pretty childish. No interpretation, no matter how subtle, can, for me, change this."
And so, that was a letter that came to date in 2008, and we also have all the documentation of all of this up at Free Thought of the Day that you can find at our website. You can go to the news link. There's advertisements on the homepage. Einstein was not a Christian.
So
he wasn't a believer.
We should tell representative or legislator nicely that Einstein was so smart that he never did become a Christian.
So, clearing the record is one of the most important things you can do as a free thinker. So when you find this kind of misquote, go after it. Now, we want to talk about how just this week we launched our first interactive application, really, the Virtual Billboard Campaign, and we are calling on all non-believers to come out of the closet. And we've been working on this really application for months. Hired a company to do it, and it's, Dan, why don't you describe how it works?
Well, you know, for years we've had this billboards around the country, and actual billboards, and we're still doing that, and in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Raleigh, we had our first actual out-of-the-closet campaign on real billboards, but we have 17,000 members, so we can't put all 17,000 members on an actual billboard.
But we should explain, if you haven't seen it, this has got a real freethinker there. Your face, your statement, your name, where you, what city you're from, identifying whether you're an atheist, agnostic, skeptic, whatever you like to call yourself, on a billboard. So now anybody, anywhere who is a freethinker can participate in this by
going online.
You go to ffrf.org. There's about three places at our homepage. You know, look for a green image that says put your godless quote here at the bottom.
Just go ffrf.org/out, O-U-T.
And then it will take you to the application. It takes about, what, 1 minute?
Well, a couple minutes.
If you read the terms and agreement, it'll take you a minute. If you don't, it won't take you that long. And then there's a process where you have to, you get an email and activate it or disable it. Then it goes to us and then we approve it. And then it gets a footer that has FFRF's website and name on it. And it looks just like our Out of the Closet billboards.
And you can use them. You can take it. We provide you with a link. You have your own permalink. You can put that on your Facebook page or send it to your friends, or you can put it wherever you want. It becomes your billboard. And you should see some of the gorgeous billboards that people have been sending
this week. Were going to have Brian Tirani. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys.
You're here. And
Brian's our producer.
Quietly.
He's our producer and our engineer.
And would you like to read? We have some staff picks. Would you like to read them?
Well, yeah, I get the ringers. These are the winners. And now, was this one of the first or the first?
You are reading the very first billboard we got. And can I say, we were very honored that the first person to submit a billboard was Richard Dawkins.
That's something.
He's such a good sport, such a good activist. So why don't you go ahead and read that?
And his is, faith is one of the world's great evils, comparable to smallpox virus, but harder to eradicate. Huh. Richard Dawkins, an Out of the Closet Atheist. Uh-huh. Also on there is Steven Pinker. His quote is, morality comes from reason, not dogma.
And of course, he's the famous Harvard
linguist and
an evolutionary psychologist.
If people are good only because they fear punishment or want a reward, we're doomed. That's Rebecca Goldstein. That's
and
a pretty good one.
And she's a novelist and a free thinker and happens to be married to Steven Pinker. And she'll be speaking at FFRF's convention this October in Hartford.
Ah. Religion is the opiate of the masses, and we all know you should never give drugs to kids.
Who was that?
That's Natalie Angier.
Angier, sorry. And
she's, science writer.
She's been on our show. And yeah. She's gotten an Emperor Has No Clothes Award. She's a Pulitzer Prize winning science reporter and also written many wonderful nonfiction books for the New York Times.
And a great book about Spinoza.
Yeah, it's a great twist on a well-known quote as well that she kind of made her own.
She's really sharp.
Also, here's a great one from Peter Singer. I see no more reason and I feel no more need to believe in a god or gods than I do to believe in fairies.
And that is the Peter Singer, the animal rights activist and ethicist.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. So it wasn't a foxhole. That's Lisa Parks, former U.S. Navy and out of the closet atheist.
So now we're picking what would be known in England as the commoners.
Well, but
the folks.
But none of these people are common people.
No,
these are all
I'm joking.
And courageous.
We put some of the famous people who participated up at this on the picks, but we're going to vary these, and so here's some more.
Yeah, and when it's nice too that Lisa Parks used her naval photograph, her official photograph from the Navy as well. It makes for a nice looking billboard. Here's another one, Bo Johnson. I believe in not believing in gods.
That was cute.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a child of one lesser god, no superstitious baloney or moody, temperamental, invisible homies. That's Valdi Francois.
I think that was sort of pseudo-rap.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I don't base my moral choices on a book written by Bronze Age shepherds. That's Cecilia Gomez. That's pretty clever. Better a doubter in earnest than a believer in haste. Megan Wilkinson, Hoosier and law student. Out of the closet atheist. This is Denise, ex-Catholic from Hillsboro, Oregon. Unapologetically free and liberated without superstition.
You can't read all of them.
Well, he's got just the staff picks.
Within less than a day, there were already 400 that came in.
Are there a couple more?
Oh, that's great, yeah. This is Beth Taylor. True goodness is caring for others with no thought of heavenly reward. That's a very good one.
Yay, Beth. She's one of our members and activists in Seattle.
And she's the mother of the famous Molly Taylor.
Helped us put on our Seattle National Convention.
Very nice. This is from Kayla, a UW-Madison student from our backyard. I'm a good person. Atheism and morality are not mutually exclusive. Carmencita Valerio, I'm proud to be an American and a non-believer. Elena Nokoliva, I Can Do Good Without God. And Adam Lee, Atheism is Peace, Happiness, and Freedom. Join Me in the Daylight. And there's also one here that, Dan, I'm going to hand off to you because it's been several years since my Spanish classes.
Which one is it?
Top one there.
Los ateos también hablamos español. That's Mando Matos, and he's the moderator of the podcast Ateorizar Puerto Rico.
And he's pictured with his son?
Yeah, he is pictured. So there
Not
are,
Dan, translate that for us.
Oh, well, we atheists also speak Spanish is what it says. So
no, and we did send out some special, I don't know if we sent something to the Atheists in the Caribbean, so maybe that's how we got that. We kind of tried to send out to a lot of the blogs and Black atheists and student clubs and get the word out.
Well, and then Facebook and all that.
Yeah.
Well, and the last Hamet one here Mita is a nice one from a student. 18-year-old Rod has the quote, "If I broke free from the cycle, you can too."
Huh. And so there are going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of this, but it's really fun.
And they're very, very creative and cute and charming, and some of them are just very inspiring or moving, the comments that people come up with.
And we don't consider this, I mean, it's really fun. We want people to have fun with it, but we do have an intellectual underpinnings behind this because we think that it is very important for people to come out of the closet, that so much of what is wrong in our society is because we are too deferential to religion, that atheists and agnostics are marginalized or demonized and feel afraid to come out of the closet. I mean, but there's so many of us. 1 in 6 Americans is non-religious. But also that we have things to contribute to society, that our analysis is what is lacking, for example, in Congress and in many of our state legislatures and where we are dealing with so many problems caused by religion. So we want to be friendly neighborhood atheists, but we also want to get our message out.
And we want to see the faces. So don't send a photograph of your cat doing a handstand.
Right. It's in the terms and agreements. You've got to put your own picture
face
up. And we do, of course, monitor for many reasons, for libel and things like that. But most people are being approved with no problem. You can pick your own color. I think there's 6, options, yellow, pink, blue, green, orange, purple.
Yeah.
You can, modify what you do and look and see how it looks. The shorter, the better.
And you can pick
from
a list.
Describe yourself.
List of free thought labels, atheist, agnostic. Well, the labels that Annie Laurie read at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, they all have out of the closet, and then you get to choose what label you prefer. So please go to your computer and try it out, fffrf.org/out.
/out, O-U-T.
And there's about 4 links at our homepage if you can't find it that way. And we will be looking for your virtual billboard to approve. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We'll be back in a minute to talk a little bit more about more FFRF activism, and then with Professor Paul Bender about what's wrong with the Supreme Court.
G'day, this is Jim Polfreman, and I'm listening to Free Thought Radio from the other side of the globe in Tasmania, Australia.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
We just have a minute, but we are fighting back against the National Day of Prayer, which is coming up the first Thursday in May. That's next week. With buses and metro signs in Washington, D.C., go to our news link at fffrf.org, and you can find the news release and look at these beautiful billboards promoting secular government, warning about God and government, a dangerous mix, invoking the U.S. presidents and Butterfly McQueen to promote reason in Washington, D.C.
We're listening to a little bit of Johannes Brahms, the freethinker whose birthday is next Saturday. Coming up, we'll be talking with Professor Paul Bender of the Sandra Day O'Connor School of Law about what's wrong with the current Supreme Court and the denial of standing in the Wynn decision before that court. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dan Garrix from Flint, Michigan, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker with Free Thought Radio. Well, you just can't win. W-I-N-N. You just can't win with this Supreme Court. We have on the phone with us from Arizona, Professor of Law Paul Bender, to talk with us about the Supreme Court's April 4th decision in Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization versus Wynn. And we know exactly how Professor Bender feels because we have also lost the right to challenge the government about violations of the Establishment Clause in our own organization. Paul Bender was the lead attorney in that case. Professor Bender is Dean Emeritus of the Sandra Day O'Connor School of Law. He teaches courses on U.S. and Arizona constitutional law. He's written extensively about constitutional law, intellectual property, and Indian law. He's the co-author of the casebook treatise, Political and Civil Rights in the United States. He's argued more than 20 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court and actively participates in constitutional litigation in federal and state courts. Professor Bender served as dean of the College of Law from 84 to 89. He was a law clerk to the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Learned Hand, and to Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. He spent 24 years as a faculty member at the University of Pennsylvania Law School. Professor Bender served as Principal Deputy Solicitor General of the United States from 1993 to 97. With responsibility for Supreme Court and federal appellate litigation in civil rights, race and sex discrimination, speech and religion, and tort claims against the federal government. Professor Bender has served as a member of the Hopi Tribes Court of Appeals. He's currently Chief Justice of the Fort McDowell Nation Supreme Court and the San Carlos Apache Court of Appeals. So, after that long introduction, welcome to Free Thought Radio, Professor Bender.
Okay, nice to be here.
Well, we thank you for joining us, and we asked you to be on the show, and we haven't been able to figure out a time until now. It was after the Supreme Court decision on April 4th that came down 5-4, which against challengers of this Arizona tax credit that provides tax credits for contributions to tuition organizations. It's rather complicated, and then these are used for scholarships, quote unquote, most of which I think are going to religious schools. And so were you with this lawsuit from the beginning?
Yes.
So can you tell us more about it, more about the law, how long it's been going on, who the plaintiffs were, and why you sued?
The law has been going on for about 10 years, and it is complicated. In Arizona, the state constitution seems to, and I think clearly does, prohibit a voucher program because it prohibits the use of state funds to pay for not only religious school tuition, but any private school tuition. The Arizona Constitution is very big on public education. So in order to get around that, the Arizona legislature decided to use tax credits, whereby anybody in Arizona who pays income tax, state income tax, can essentially pay, if you're a married couple, up to $1,000 of your income tax by sending a check to a school tuition organization rather than to the Department of Revenue. And you get 100% credit on your income tax for that check.
Wow.
So you're paying X when you do it. And the school tuition organization has to use the money to award scholarships to non-public schools. When this was originally challenged under the Arizona Constitution as a violation of the provision I mentioned before that says that the state can't support private education, but the Arizona Supreme Court said, well, it didn't violate that provision because it wasn't public money, because the money never got to the Treasury. It went to the school tuition organizations directly from the taxpayer. That is a pretty crazy decision, but that's what they decided. So that seemed to end the possibility of challenging it under state law. And as you probably know, in the early 2000s, I forget the exact year, the U.S. Supreme Court decided the Zelman case, which said that vouchers did not violate the U.S. Constitution. But when this program started in Arizona, it became clear fairly quickly that these school tuition organizations, well, first of all, that about half of them are religious organizations, and they deal with about 75% of the money. And those organizations, those religious organizations, were only giving scholarships to religious schools and were also preferring students of their own religion in awarding scholarships and probably only giving them to students of their own religion. So the Catholic School Tuition Organization for the Diocese of Phoenix, for example, will only give scholarships to go to their schools, Catholic schools in Phoenix, and I think prefer Catholic students if it's a competition for those scholarships. So this, the lawsuit we brought was addressed to that discriminatory action by the STOs, because in approving vouchers in the Zelman case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that vouchers were okay as long as they were distributed without any reference to religion, and as long as the parents who got them had completely free choice about where to use the vouchers. And we alleged, and it's true, and nobody really disputes, that in Arizona, the vouchers given out by the school tuition, the religious school tuition organizations, are not given out without reference to religion. They are given out with reference to religion because they can only be used at religious schools, and they prefer people of a certain religion. And the parents do not have free choice because they can only use the vouchers they get from those religious organizations at religious schools. They can't use them at a non-religious school.
So that issue was not decided. You never got to the merits then.
That is true. That issue was not decided. All the court decided in this case was that taxpayers did not have standing under Flast and Cohen to challenge that. For reasons that you'll have to read the opinion to figure out, because they don't make any sense. But they made a distinction and said that although taxpayers would have a right to challenge vouchers, they don't have a right to challenge tax credits. Basically, for the same reason the Arizona Supreme Court said the system didn't violate the Arizona Constitution, that the money never went into the Treasury. It went directly to the religious organization.
But that's so phony, though.
It is.
Can you dissect for a listener who's, you know, this is all new to them, why that is so convoluted?
It's not a deduction. It's a tax credit, right?
Right. It's a credit. It's 100% credit.
So it's a huge subsidy, in other words, indirectly.
Yeah. That's true. But remember, they didn't say it was constitutional. They said taxpayers cannot challenge it because this court would never have. Do you know what Flast and Cohen holds?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
But I don't think our listeners do, so why don't you say?
Well, this does get complicated. In general, taxpayers, under the U.S. Constitution, taxpayers do not have standing, that is, the right to challenge a government spending program because the program is unconstitutional. If you think that Social Security program, or Medicare, for example, is unconstitutional, and you're a taxpayer and you're contributing to it, you do not have standing to challenge its constitutionality. That's the general rule. The court, during the days of the Warren Court, in a case called Flast and Cohen, made an exception to that and said that Establishment Clause cases were different. and in Establishment Clause cases, and maybe some others, where the Constitution directly and specifically forbids payment of government money for certain purposes, taxpayers did have standing to challenge.
And so taxpayers have standing to challenge on something that violates the separation of religion and government.
Yeah,
the spending program that violates the Establishment Clause. So that if if the federal government decided to give $100 million to the Presbyterian Church, taxpayers could challenge that because that would violate the Establishment Clause. That comes within Flest and Cohen. And since that time, the courts decided a whole bunch of cases, as you know, involving that kind of thing. And some of them have involved things very similar or identical to tax credits. For example, they held a deduction for religious school expenses did not violate the Establishment Clause. In another case,
that was
the
Minnesota case. Is that right?
Excuse me?
Was that the Minnesota case?
Allen.
What?
The deduction case is Mueller and Allen.
Yeah.
That's the name of it. And there's a case from New York involving tax credits, and they held in the Waltz case that taxpayers could challenge an exclusion from taxes for religious organizations.
That was the Supreme Court there decided against the merits of that, but they said the taxpayers had the right to challenge the tax exemption of churches.
When we brought this case, we assumed that taxpayers would have standing because they were held to have standing, not held to, but nobody objected to their standing. And Flast and Cohn seemed pretty clearly to give taxpayers standing to challenge deductions, credits, exclusions, what are called tax expenditures by tax lawyers, that taxpayers could challenge those under the Establishment Clause if they said they violated the Establishment Clause. And so our plaintiffs were taxpayers. And in this case that the court decided in the last month, the Wynn case, the court decided that no, that was wrong. Taxpayers did not have standing to challenge tax expenditures like deductions and credits and exclusions. They could only challenge direct appropriations. Even though the court had decided at least five or six very important First Amendment cases brought by taxpayers challenging tax expenditures like deductions and credits. And Justice Kennedy's opinion said, well, those opinions were just wrong.
So we're seeing the precedent, stare decisis, being ignored. We're seeing precedent overturned. We're seeing the courthouse doors slamming shut against citizens who are trying to remedy state church entanglements involving taxpayers. So
I think that's true.
Very, very disturbing. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are talking with Professor Paul Bender about the fallout of the Wynn decision that he argued before the U.S. Supreme Court representing Arizona taxpayers. And we will be right back to talk about what was wrong with that decision.
I'm Ron Sloniger from Peoria, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. I'm a proud supporter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We are talking with Professor Paul Bender from Arizona, the Dean Emeritus of the School of Law, Sandra Day O'Connor at Tempe, about the meaning of the Supreme Court's April 4th decision, which he argued before the Supreme Court on the Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization versus Wynn, in which the U.S. Supreme Court voted 5-4 that Arizona taxpayers did not have the right to challenge a very clear indirect subsidy of parochial education. And we think we have cleared up the phone line with you, Professor Bender. There were some in and outs there. Tell us about some help you got in the dissent, at least. There were some silver linings in this case.
Well, it wasn't help. It was a dissent. It was a really good opinion by Justice Kagan, which was nice to see. It's only 4 votes, and there were 5 votes on the other side. I think the dissent did as good a job as you can in pointing out why the majority's opinion is wrong. And basically we had said the same stuff in our brief.
And she was saying for almost half a century that taxpayers, like your plaintiffs, had the right to go to court. So,
right.
So why would they take it away?
Right, And we listed all those cases in our brief. And we knew that somebody was going to say, well, but the court didn't focus on the issue of standing in those cases. They just didn't object to standing. And we pointed out that standing is something that the court's supposed to raise on its own if it isn't present. And I even pointed out, because I knew Kennedy was going to be the critical vote, if he was the only one I had a chance of getting on my side, that a few years ago this case was in the Supreme Court on another procedural point. It had been challenged, our suit had been challenged, as a violation of the Federal Tax Injunction Act, which says that the federal courts don't have jurisdiction to enjoin the collection of state taxes. And we won that one 5-4, and Kennedy wrote a dissent. And he mentioned all the things you would mention if you were saying we didn't have standing. He just mentioned them in the context of saying the Tax Injunction Act should apply. So I said, you know, you had this case before. Essentially, you had all this arguments that would be made that there is no standing, and the court rejected them. And so this isn't like a case where you didn't think about it, because you were thinking about exactly this question of whether taxpayers could bring this case, figuring that that might possibly shame him into holding we had standing.
Now, my reading of the case, the decision, is that, maybe you can tell me if I'm right here, is that the court said that since the money actually never made it into the state treasury, it was not considered tax money, and therefore taxpayers don't have a right to challenge. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. It's crazy. It makes absolutely no sense. Everybody knows that that's not true. Every dollar that goes into this program is money that otherwise would have gone into the Treasury. Arizona is running about a $2 billion deficit these days. So every dollar that you put into this program is a dollar that the rest of Arizona's taxpayers have to make up to pay the police and pay for the schools and pay for the other things that that the state has to pay for. So the state's taxpayers support this program in the same way they would support a voucher program. And the court clearly has said that taxpayers do have standing under Flast and Cohen to challenge a voucher program, and so they should have standing to challenge this one, because the impact on taxpayers is exactly the same. But the court drew essentially an artificial distinction, I think, because it's clear to me, we know that two members of the court want to overrule Flast and say taxpayers never have standing to challenge Establishment Clause violations.
That's Scalia and Thomas?
That's Scalia and Thomas, right.
And they might
and
be able
I
to pull others, huh?
That Alito and Roberts feel the same way.
I think so.
And the question is, but they haven't been able to get Kennedy's vote for that. And the last time this issue was before the court, it may have been in Hine, your case, or it may have been in another one, Kennedy said he wasn't going to overrule Flast and Cohen, but he wasn't going to expand it. He was going to leave it the way it was. And so I think what you have going is Kennedy doesn't like Flast, but he doesn't want to overrule it because he's generally against overruling things. And so he will just make any distinction he can to not let Flast be used in any kind of a new situation, even though the new situation is not in any significant way different from the Flast situation.
And of course, I can't remember if this is during the break or the last segment, we were both saying that when the Hine case started, FFRF's case that went to the Supreme Court, lost on taxpayer standing, when you started this, I mean, you were starting to represent people in this case 14 years ago, Sandra Day O'Connor was on the U.S. Supreme Court, and we felt we would win if we'd had her vote. Now, I just wanted to say in Kagan's dissent, she makes a very interesting point. She said, suppose a state desires to reward Jews by, say, $500 per year for their religious devotion. Should the nature of taxpayers' concern vary if the state allows Jews to claim the aid on their tax returns in lieu of receiving an annual stipend? So there's a lot of logical ramifications from this holding that they made, aren't there?
Yes, there are, but I'm not sure of this, but I think in Kagan's case, as well as in our case, I think that you could find plaintiffs who would have standing.
And so, oh, you were saying that. So who would they be?
In our case, they would be people who were the victims of the discrimination.
So somebody...
We are complaining. Remember, we're not complaining about the program as a voucher program because we lost that in the Zelman case. It's not unconstitutional to give for the state to give vouchers to parents to send their kids to religious schools. What we're complaining about is that the people who do that on the state's behalf, in this case, the school tuition organizations, discriminate on the basis of religion in giving out their scholarships. So if taxpayers can't challenge that discrimination, I would think that the victims of the discrimination could challenge it.
So are you willing...
So a parent who wants... Excuse me?
You're willing to go forward with another lawsuit if you find the right plaintiffs?
Well, that's whether... This was an ACLU lawsuit here. Whether the ACLU here wants to go forward with that litigation is something that we really haven't talked about yet.
Well, it's an interesting thought.
But I would think that it's theoretically possible to do that.
Thank you so much, Professor Bender. We are out of time, but thank you again.
Professor Bender argued the Supreme Court case and the Wynn decision, which ruled that taxpayers don't have standing to sue on Establishment Clause grounds. We're listening to a little bit of Brahms' First Symphony. Brahms was a humanist agnostic. Thank you, Professor Bender. We also want to thank Brian Turanier, our engineer and producer. Go to ffrf.org/radio for archives and the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Help support our broadcasts, our podcasts, our litigation, our work to educate by becoming a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Check out our website at ffrf.org. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.